So, we've made it to the last passage in Daniel. And in case you're wondering, no, Daniel didn't let us off the hook easy. We get to these last verses, and we'll see some unique wording, kind of like we've been familiarized with throughout the rest of Daniel. So let's look at it. Daniel chapter 12. We'll read verses 5 through 13. Daniel chapter 12, verses 5 through 13, reading from the English Standard Version. Here's how my Bible reads. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the end of time. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. But the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But those who are wise shall understand. And from that time, and from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1335 days. But go your way to the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. What a way to land the plane. Daniel has just received his final major communication from God. And it ends with God saying, but all of this is after your life. So mind your business. I think that's an interesting thing for Daniel to hear after so many revelations of how God would bring nations to an end and then rise other nations up in their place. Daniel, I'm done revealing to you what my plan is. Your time is short. Enjoy what's left because this doesn't concern you. Let's look at how God gets to that point. In verses 5 through 7, we see an angelic conversation. Daniel sees two angels standing on opposite sides of the river Tigris. Let's pause and appreciate this moment, right? Daniel is in his 80s. He likely watched the caravan of Israelites who marched out of captivity toward the promised land. I could only imagine the hopeful joy in his heart as he saw them leave. Just as God had kept his word in the fall of Babylon and the rise of the Medo-Persian Empire, God had kept his word and his people were leaving exile. When they returned home, they began rebuilding the temple. But by Daniel 12, that work has stopped, far from complete. We remember the context for this vision. Daniel mourned, fasted, and prayed for 21 days. Daniel chapter 10 tells us that God's answer was immediate, but the communication was delayed. In that chapter, God pulled back the curtain and gave us a glimpse into the spiritual realm because the angel assigned to communicate God's plan to Daniel was caught up in spiritual warfare for 21 days. Some might wonder why God would send an answer through an angel with a fight on his itinerary. Why not use an angel who could have delivered the response without delay? We can't climb into the mind of God and explain his decisions fully, but based on what we've covered in what God communicated in chapter through from chapter 10 to verse chapter 12, verse 4, and what we'll see today, I believe there's one possible reason. The answer really had no impact on Daniel's life. He would die long before the events God described would take place. God could have said, "Don't worry about it. Mind your business." But God saw Daniel's mourning, and more importantly, Daniel was greatly loved by God. So God sent the response that lands us in the passage before us. Just as earlier prophecies had promised, two more ungodly nations would rise. And just like before, there's veiled language in these verses about the end of time. An evil ruler will emerge, dominate the geopolitical landscape, and torment the people of God like never before. Many will suffer. Many will die. Then out of nowhere, God will strike down the evil ruler. At that time, he will deliver his people. The dead will be raised, some to everlasting life and others to everlasting contempt. Let me pause here long enough to say, we who belong to Christ should anticipate and celebrate the resurrection because God has promised us life through him. But the world at large should fear the resurrection because God has reserved judgment for those who reject the Christ. Back to our passage. When the angel in linen stopped speaking, Daniel looked up and saw two more angels standing on opposite sides of the Tigris. Then someone spoke to the one clothed in linen. The same angel who delivered the final prophecy of Daniel's book. Interestingly, when you look at the passage, Daniel says someone asked a question. Reads as if Daniel is unsure if it's one of the angels or another personality. The reality is, it doesn't matter who asked the question. The question itself should be what we focus our attention on. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? What are these wonders? Everything from the prophecy in 11:1 to 12:4. The resurrection of the dead. The defeat of God's enemy. The rise and fall of two ungodly nations. How long to the end of all these wonders? How long until God's people taste everlasting life? How long until the wicked face everlasting contempt? How long till the enemy of God is done and finished for all time? This passage amazes me. God predetermined the end of time, but when the angels heard the plan, it was so marvelous that they got curious. Can you imagine something so significant that angels who go back and forth between heaven and earth, those who behold the very beauty and glory of God, those who have been trusted to communicate God's will to humanity on a certain capacity, have to hear this prophecy and be curious? Because what God has revealed can't be understood even by angels. And the answer to their question of how long was not for a while. In verse 7, the angel above the river, the one clothed in linen who had done the most of the speaking from chapter 10 through 12, raises both hands towards heaven and swears by him who lives forever, that it would be for a time, times and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. Does this sound familiar? We saw something similar in Revelation 10, verses 5 through 7, after the sixth trumpet blew and plagues fell on unrepenting humanity. Another angel wrapped in a cloud and bearing the resemblance of Daniel's angel descended from heaven. Here's what Revelation 10 says, "And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what was in it, and the sea and what is in it, that there would be no more delay, but that in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be fulfilled, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets." So standing before Daniel, an angel raises both hands and swore by him who lives forever that these things would be for a time, times, and a half time. But before John, an angel stood on both land and sea, raised one hand, and swore that there would be no more delay. Daniel's vision originally intended for Israel said that the end was still far off. But John's vision given to the church reveals that the days of days Daniel longed to understand are now unfolding before our eyes. The final moments of human history are just over the horizon. We're seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls away from glory. But let me get out of McKeever's series so he can unpack that himself. Let's jump back into Daniel 12, verse 7. There are two key phrases left for us to address. The first one is a time, times, and half a time. We've seen this phrase before. In Daniel 7, verse 25, it refers to the season when God's people are handed over to an oppressive ruler, but only for a set time. That passage introduces a key theme and reality, and that's God sets boundaries on suffering. But then we see this phrase pop up again in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. The same period is split into two halves of the final week of suffering. We believe this to be the most intense season of the tribulation. The first half likely refers to the period between Antiochus Epiphanes in 165 BC and the crucifixion of Christ. The second half points to the cross, from the cross to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Then we'll see it again in Revelation 12, 14. But I'm going to respect our Sunday series and let Pastor explain that to us from the pulpit. That's one phrase. But then the second phrase is when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end. This phrase is waiting. Doesn't say that the end will come when the world decides to stop persecuting the church. Doesn't say the end will come when the devil gets tired of tormenting God's people. No, it says the end will come when God says it's time for the end. In Revelation, we saw martyrs cry out, "How long, O Lord?" And God responded, "Just a little while longer." And then the very next seal brought judgment on the wicked. Then later in Revelation, we're told that the devil will think he's having his way, but out of nowhere, God will take him out and take us up. all of this happens at God's appointed time. Not 1 second before, not 1 second later. So let's put these two phrases together. A times, and half a time refers to limited God-ordained seasons of suffering. The shattering of the holy people likely refers to the final wave of persecution that precedes Christ's return. And because we live on the other side of the cross and have access to what John saw, we can say with confidence that the defeat of the Antichrist and the deliverance of the church will take place at the coming of Christ. So, to answer the angel's question, how long until the Lord Jesus comes back? And that's part why Daniel couldn't understand this prophecy. Daniel would have to live for hundreds more years in order to catch up to the birth of Jesus. He'd have to live even more years to get John's revelation. And even still, with thousands of years of church history, we don't fully understand Daniel's prophecy. He simply lived too far behind God's appointed time to understand everything that God decided to reveal to him. Let's look at verses 8 through 13, where Daniel gets his final briefing. Daniel heard the message, but like any of us in his situation, he didn't fully understand it. And when he asked for clarity, all Daniel got was "go on your way." In other words, this isn't for now, Daniel. These words are sealed until the end of time. This response is important. It means that the prophecies in chapters 11 and 12, while partially fulfilled in history up until this point, they won't be fully understood until they reach their final fulfillment at the end of the age. Daniel was faithful to record what he heard, even though God didn't give him all the answers. Let me pause here long enough to ask, can God count on you to be faithful even when you don't have all the details? Does God have to give you full disclosure? Or can God trust you to trust him? He doesn't only want this kind of faithfulness from Old Testament prophets, the apostles, and church pastors. No, God wants this kind of faithfulness from everyone he welcomes into his family. We don't have all the details, but he does expect us to trust him. We don't know how everything will look in the last days, but God has revealed enough in his word and done enough through the cross of Jesus Christ for us to hold on to the faith. Because of where we live in the story, on the other side of the cross, we can see more than Daniel could. Jesus has already come declaring the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. What Daniel saw in shadows, Jesus brought into light. Still, even with Christ's first coming behind us, some parts remain mysterious. We can look back through history and see what God has already fulfilled, but we can't look forward into the future and predict exactly how God's plans will look as they unfold. That's especially true when we come to verse 11, which returns us to the image of the abomination that makes desolate. This isn't a one-time event. As we've talked about with apocalyptic literature, some components have a now but not yet nature. so that we see horizons in history where they reach a level of fulfillment. But it's not till we get to the end of the ages that we see that final fulfillment. In the case of the abomination that makes desolate, the first, we believe, was Antiochus Epiphanes in 165 BC when he stopped the worship of God in the temple and went as far as to erect a statue of Zeus in the temple as a moment of mockery. Then we see another moment of fulfillment with the Roman destruction of the temple in AD 70. But ultimately, there is more to come. As John puts it, many antichrists have come. And we shouldn't be surprised to see more until the final day. The angel's message isn't about date setting. It's about faithfulness to the end. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is the one who waits and arrives at 1,335 days." This blessing isn't for the one who figures out the timeline. This blessing is for the one who holds on to the faith a little while longer. So the real question isn't how long until the end. The real question for each of us who have been bought by the blood of Jesus is, what kind of person will you be when the end comes? Will you be among the wise who are purified, made white, and refined? Or among the wicked who remain unchanged? Well, if you are in Christ, you will be among the wise. But those of us who deny him will be among the wicked. God may not give us all the details, but he always gives us enough to trust him. Daniel didn't get the clarity he wanted, but he got the assurance he needed. The future belongs to God. The end will come at the time he appoints in the way he ordains for the glory he deserves. Until the end, our job isn't to decode the calendar, it's to endure in the faith. There will be moments when God's people endure suffering. There will be seasons where it feels like evil is winning. But Daniel's vision reminds us that every season of suffering has an expiration date, and it's stamped with God's authority. So when you find yourself asking how long, oh Lord, remember Daniel. Remember the angel's hand lifted in promise. Remember that we are living closer to the end than Daniel ever did. Most of all, remember Christ, who endured the cross, secured the resurrection, and is coming again. Until he does, our job is to wait well and endure faithfully. Let's thank God for his word. Any questions, comments, pushback?
The shattering of the power of the holy people. Our power is the Holy Spirit. So does that relate? I don't know what I'm asking. I just wonder. The power of the holy people is the Holy Spirit. Is that correct?
I don't think that's power in the sense that the angel is speaking about in this passage. Because you got to keep in mind that a lot of this is about geopolitical things and national organization. For us, we aren't a nation, but the church is really an international entity.
Yeah.
And in the final days, the Bible is clear that the church will be persecuted like never before. And that will be the shattering of the holy people.
Yeah.
The church won't have its position. The church won't have its authority. And truthfully, we're not in that most intense moment. But if we be honest, in our lifetimes, we've seen the church lose significant position in our culture. The church does not have the witness that it had 20 years ago. It certainly doesn't have the witness that it had 50 years ago. And it doesn't have that impact on the community that it used to have and that it should have.
Thank you, Lord, for being unveiling our future, right? The end times. If we had it all, if we knew it all, I think we would be ruined. I can't imagine what that would look like. And I'm so grateful that he's given us signs, things to look for and observe and be wise without every last detail of every day. What a terrible life that would be.
That would be too stressful for me. to know all the details about, I just don't think we have the capacity for it. Like, if we knew all the details about our next month, our minds would probably explode. So just imagine all the details about the end of time. Anybody else, questions, comments? Anything that you were encouraged by from the book of Daniel?
Thank you for all your work.
Thank y'all for letting me work. I'll say, I think the biggest takeaway from the book of Daniel, for me personally, is God's sovereignty, right? It's something that as believers, you know, if something bad happens, we'll try to encourage somebody and say, oh, you know, well, God is sovereign. He'll work it out. But Daniel is really like, hey, let's take a look at the world. Right. Take a look at the rise and fall of nations. God is controlling that from the beginning to the end. And then we get these super intricate details about these nations, like this daughter is going to be given to this person and that marriage isn't going to work and they're going to connive because of that. And this person is going to die. And then you read history and it falls out exactly like God promised hundreds of years before it happened. And for me, it's just like, man, we've got a God we can trust. And history proves it when you line it up with scripture.
Yeah, like on the tail end of what you just said, because of that, you can trust that last verse. If you're talking, if we stand in Daniel's shoes when we hear this, right? You shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place. Mm-hmm. At the end of days. Mm-hmm. Well, I can trust that because he's been in control of human history all along.
And for Daniel, I've never appreciated Daniel's perspective like I have studying this book, right? You get to this last verse, and of course Daniel can trust it because he's interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream and saw what happened to him, right? Like, he's interacted with his son and said, hey, God is going to see you in 24 hours. Like, God has said, Babylon is going to fall and the Medo-Persian Empire is going to rise. And he's standing on the ground of the Medo-Persian Empire with memories of the leadership of Babylon. So, like, how much could he take heart and encouragement from this passage just because God had proven himself in such an amazing way? Like, we get to look back at it and appreciate it. But Daniel lived it in real time. Well, let's thank God for his word. I think it's appropriate to close this series with a bit of prayer. God, we thank you for the fact that you communicate your plans to your people. Thank you for the fact that you are he who rules all of time. We pray that you would help us to be the people who trust your sovereign plan for all of humanity. Help us, Lord, to hold on to your word and to look forward to the promises that you have made that are yet to be fulfilled for our good and your glory. In Christ's name, amen.